Today, before we get to the passages that we're going to look at from Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 1 in just a moment, I would like to mention a few names that you might be familiar with, many of them from Scripture. They go like this: Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Joshua, David, Isaiah, Elijah, Daniel, Esther, James and John, Martin Luther, William Tyndale, David Livingston, Hudson Taylor, Adoniram Judson, Eric Little, D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, Jim Elliot, and we could go on and on. Hundreds of heroes of the faith, which we could list, all had one thing in common apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is this: they all had mothers. Many, if not most, godly ones. Truly, we are told today by professionals that much of a person's personality, patterns, and behavioral habits are formed very early in life. And who does a little child spend the most time with? His mother. Look, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's read verses 14 and 15. Here, Paul is writing a letter to Timothy, a young man. He is trained in the ministry and is now sent out to minister to others. Look, if you would, in verse 14. Paul writes, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now, Paul encouraged Timothy to continue in the things that he had what? That he had learned. And he had learned from his childhood of the Holy Scriptures. Now, where would he have learned these things from his childhood? Look back, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and look at verse 5. Or actually, let's start in verse 4. Paul says, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Let's go to the Lord in prayer once more before we continue. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here, of worshiping you together. Lord, of being reminded of the precious gift that we have in our mothers. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you for your word today that reminds us of the grace of God that has been bestowed upon us in so many ways, including, in many cases, godly parents. We pray, Lord, that you would help us as we look into your word to understand it and to be able to apply it to our lives. We pray the Holy Spirit would drive it home in our hearts today. And Lord, not only that we would be more grateful for what you have given to us, but Lord, that we might grow ourselves to be the kind of servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in many cases, mothers and fathers ourselves, that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You know, it was not an accident that Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, here names both the mother and grandmother of Timothy as having a sincere faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and a sincere love for his word, which they instilled in who? In Timothy, their son and grandson. It is not a mere coincidence that Timothy turned out to be the young man that the Apostle Paul saw so much in. He had received the Lord a most precious gift in his mother and grandmother. The life, salvation, and service of Timothy is to the glory of God's grace. However, the influence of his mother upon his life for the Lord is by no means insignificant. It was by design that God chose for children to have a mother and a father, two parents. Not two mothers, not two fathers, not just one mother or one father, but a mom and a dad. Sadly, we live in a day in the United States that God's word is being trampled underfoot. And public policy, and even the laws of our land, which once respected and honored God's word, are swiftly turning against him. But regardless of what man declares, God's way is still the best. And God, in his infinite wisdom and love, has determined that children need a mom and a dad. And when it comes to teaching and training of children, the mother is oftentimes the one who carries the greatest burden and influence upon the children, particularly when they're young. Due to the work of the father, a mother takes on the majority of business around the home often, even sometimes while she's still holding a job down herself today. Unfortunately, a mother's contribution is often overlooked by the more public role of the father. Howbeit, in the raising of children, it is the mother who should receive the lion's share of the credit. There are numerous examples in the scriptures of godly mothers who undoubtedly had an effect on their children. I would like to take the next few minutes to mention some of them. The first one that came to mind was Sarah, the wife of Abraham. The mother of Isaac, though certainly not perfect, followed her husband and the Lord all over creation, yet remaining faithful and submissive to her husband, even sometimes when I'm sure she knew he was wrong. She raised a godly son in the midst of a pagan people, a son who carried on in the service of the Lord, as did his father. The Lord had to say this about Sarah, Hebrews chapter 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. In 1 Peter chapter 3 it says this of Sarah: For after this manner in old time the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. What greater praise could one receive than the praise of our Maker and our God? And here, God chose to praise who? He chose to praise Sarah. The second one would be Rebekah. Rebekah, the wife of Isaac and the mother of Jacob and Esau, who left her father's house in Genesis 24 to be the wife of a nomad, a man that she had never met, but the one that God had chose for her. If you have time, take time this week to pick up your Bibles and read Genesis 24. And you'll see what kind of lady Rebekah was. She was kind. She was considerate and hardworking and unselfish. The perfect bride for Isaac and a wonderful mother to Jacob and Esau. Many of us have or had mothers that could be described with similar words. The third one I'd like to look at today is Rahab. Rahab. Well, what an unusual lady to bring into a sermon like this. Many of us know Rahab is a harlot in Jericho, and that's who she is when we first meet her. One you would think hardly fitting to be a godly mother. But yet, this lady was changed forever by God. He changed her because of her faith. Her faith when she hid the spies, when she hung the red cord out the window, and her household were saved. God holds her up as an example of faith in action. Listen, if you would, to Hebrews 11:31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, and when she had received the spies with peace. And James 2:25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Notice in both of those verses, it describes her as a harlot. But after she met God, that all changed. She married a man named Salmon, spelled like the fish. And she raised a godly and wise young man named Boaz, a name you might recognize. She is even included by Matthew in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, along with the next mother on our list, and that would be Ruth. Ruth, like Rahab, was not born a Jew. She was not born an Israelite. She was born a Moabite. A Moabite who adopted by faith Naomi, her mother-in-law. A Moabite who adopted Naomi's people, Israel, as her people. And a woman who by faith adopted their God as her God. A woman who eventually became the wife of Boaz and the great-grandmother of King David. We read about that in Ruth 4 if you want to check it out. But I'd like to read from Ruth chapter 1 today, and I'd just like to read verse 16 that describes Ruth. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Ruth was many things: humble, hardworking, loyal. But that which made a difference, the difference in her life, is the one that can make the biggest difference in yours and in the lives of your children. And that is faith. It is faith that made the difference in the life of Ruth. It is faith that brought her blessing as the great-grandmother of King David and the wife of Boaz. It is faith that she evidently instilled in the lives of her children that trickled down to her great-grandson, David. A woman and a mother of faith, like Rahab, Rebecca, and Sarah. And then Hannah. When Hannah could not have children, she went to who for help? She went to the Lord for help. And he gave her a son. He gave her a son named Samuel, which she gave what? Back to the Lord, as she pledged to when she asked the Lord to give her a son. Samuel became one of the greatest prophets and judges that the world has ever seen. This boy that God gave Hannah, and then Hannah gave back to the Lord. You know, you may think it's a bit odd to list a woman who gave up her child as an example of motherhood. But it was all about who she gave her child to that made the difference. She gave him to the Lord, which not only had a profound effect on his life, but the lives of a whole nation of people, and even people's lives today, as we read of his faith and example in the Scriptures. Moms and dads, you cannot lose by giving God your children to be used in his service. There's a song in our hymn book It's 430. It's called O Zion Haste. It was a song I didn't learn till I was in college. I don't ever remember singing O Zion Haste, even though this was the hymn book that I grew up with. But we sang it in college, and we get down to this last verse, and I want to read it to you. It says, "Give of thy sons to bear the message glorious. Give of thy wealth to speed them on their way. Pour out thy soul for them in prayer victorious, and all thou spendest, Jesus will repay. Publish glad tidings, tidings of peace, tidings of Jesus, redemption and release." The best thing we can do is to give our children to the Lord, to teach them His Word, to instill in them faith in the God who made them and died for them, so they might come to know Him and also to serve Him. And they can make a difference in this world for Jesus Christ. So we see Hannah, an example of motherhood in Scripture. And then Elizabeth. Elizabeth, the mother of one of the greatest prophets and forerunner of the Lord, whom we call John the Baptist, raised a young man who Christ called the greatest of men. And then you have Mary. No, Mary can't be credited with the divine nature of Christ. But God did not choose her to be the mother of Jesus for naught. She accepted with graciousness the Lord's choosing. She praised God for the Savior she was blessed to bring into the world, and believed God, sticking faithfully to her Son even while He hung on a cross. In John 19:25, we read this. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother." When others had fled, when others would not be seen with Christ, who was there at the foot of His cross? His mother, Mary. Because that's what mothers are like very often. And that's what Mary was like. She was a woman of faith, and she was faithful. No, the Lord doesn't minimize the importance of mothers in His Word, and neither should we. I often think of the godly mom the Lord gave me and have wondered where I might be if it were not for my mother. You see, my dad worked second shift at General Electric most of my growing up days, and so he wasn't home in the evenings when I got home from school. Well, who was? My mother was the one who had to put up with me every evening, and sometimes I could be a terror. Unfortunately, I was one of these kids that you had to tell something to three or four times before I often did what I was told. That is not praise, by the way. I was one of these kids who didn't like doing their homework and had to be a little bit motivated by a mom to do it. But my mom did. Sometimes she had to play the part of the bad guy, but she was always a loving bad guy. You see, God did make women different from men in many wonderful ways. And I believe God gives mothers an extra dose of certain gifts to assist in dealing with children all the time. My mom was patient, kind, merciful, compassionate, and displayed an unselfish servant's heart that went the extra mile for me, and then sometimes two or three more. I would hate to think where I would be and who I would be if it were not for a godly mom and a godly dad. Here are some similar traits listed in Proverbs 31, where it describes a virtuous woman. These are verses 26 through 28. It says, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." I'm here to praise my God today for giving me my mother. And I also thank the Lord for the mother of my two boys also, for she is to be praised as well. If you had a godly mother or even a loving mother, thank the Lord for the precious gift he gave to you. If you have had the opportunity to be a mother, thank God for the opportunity that he gave you, and continue to be that godly and loving mother and wife as long as God gives you breath. If you are currently the mother of a young child, thank God for this wonderful responsibility and ask God sincerely to help you and guide you in it. For you have a big hand in molding that little life for Christ. Just to think that all of the heroes of the faith were once little children with parents just like you. Just remember, in whichever place you find yourself, to give God the glory, as Mary did, the mother of Jesus, in Luke 1, even before the birth of Jesus Christ. Now back to our original text in 2 Timothy 1:5. It says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Paul says to Timothy, when I remember the unfeigned, that is the genuine faith that I saw in you as a young man, Timothy, that was also in your mom and in your grandmother, I praise the Lord. And I have one more question here before, actually, I have a few more questions, one right after another, I'd like to ask before we leave. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? As a son or a daughter or a mother or a father or a man or a woman, or where is your faith? Who is your faith in? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your father? Are you his child? The Bible says, as many as received to him, to them gave he power to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Is your faith in Christ Jesus? Have you passed from death unto life? Or are you still lost in your sins? Is your faith in Christ genuine, as Timothy's was, and his mom's, and his grandmother's? I know sometimes people go through the motions, but it's not real. They want to please maybe their mom or grandmother. But the question is your faith real? Is it growing? Does it produce fruit? Will it impact your children for Christ? I'd like to close just a moment by singing the hymn, Only One Life. It's 395 in our hymn books. But before that, we're going to pray. But indeed, we only have one life on this earth to spend for Christ. And we only have one opportunity, or two or three, depending on how many children you may have, to be the right kind of mom and dad. And also to thank the Lord for the parents he gave us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ and for the word that you have given us today. Lord, I thank you for the precious mom and dad that you gave me, godly mom and dad who loved you and did their very best to serve you and to bring myself and my brother up in the way of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for many other mothers that are represented here today or listening. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them. And I pray, Lord, that we who are their children would remember to thank the Lord for them and to let them know how much we appreciate the time and energy, effort, patience and love, and faith that they put into our lives. And that we might grow in the Lord ourselves. And that our parents might be glad and thankful in their children. Lord, most of all, I pray that my Heavenly Father might be able to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And Lord, that we might remember at what great cost you purchased us with your blood on Calvary's cross, and that we might live to your glory and honor. And Lord, we do pray if there's one listening today or watching who's never trusted Christ as Savior, that they might come to you by faith and be saved today. In Jesus' name, amen.